Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Calling All Creeps by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. It's up late because of my old migraines, and then on Sunday I was up in Long Beach, or Lakewood more specifically, recording the Far Out podcast. So I'll be on the next three episodes of that, including the one that came out yesterday, which was Monday, the 24th of, March? Of 2014, yeah. Hopefully I'll be back on that again. It was good times, and I went to Disneyland before that with my buddy and didn't go on a single ride or anything. I was like, I'm driving from San Diego to Long Beach. I can't just do nothing. So I went to Disneyland, it was super crowded, and just kind of treated it like a bar. Like, now that California Adventure has proper beer, and then it has, like, a cocktail lounge and shit, it's like, fuck it. So I just went to Disneyland and drank and walked around for miles. Drinking the cheapest vodka I could find at the liquor store, mixed with a diet cherry vanilla cream, and reading this off the normal book. Yeah, that covers everything I need to cover, right? Chapter number 15. I glanced around the room, trying to see who tossed the note to me, but no one seemed to be looking at me. Wart and his three friends were pushing their chairs, carrying their trays to the tray deposit window. Did one of them throw it? I wondered. I read the note again, folded it up, and shoved it right up my pooper. Then I carried my tray to the window and hurried out of the lunchroom. I bumped into Iris in the hall, and then I bumped again, and then I bumped again, and said, "What's up?" Actually, that's what she said. I shrugged. More creeps, I told her. They seem to be following me, I sighed. I guess I asked for it. I told you I had a bad feeling about that joke of yours, Iris replied. No way Tasha was gonna let you get away with it. Don't rub it in, I murmured unhappily. If kids start calling me again tonight, my parents are gonna have a shit fit. I'll lose my phone for sure. Maybe you should take it off the hook when you go to bed, Iris suggested. Smart. Iris is very smart. Not as smart as Dune, he thought of it right away. That's a reference back to episode 1 of Calling All Creeps on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Iris is very smart, I realized. I'm not sure I would have thought of that. I led the way upstairs. Lockers were banging all around us. Kids were banging as well, and shoving their coats, pulling out books and notebooks, jamming stuff into their backpacks. It was almost time for the bell to ring. Iris stopped at her locker and turned to me. Her cheeks suddenly had pink circles on them. "Would you do me a favor?" she asked. "Sure," I told her. Was she blushing? What was she gonna ask? It's so hard being the new girl in a school, she said. I thought I'd try to make something really special for the school bake sale on Saturday. You know, wink, wink, 420. Try to impress everyone with school spirit, rah, rah. She shot up both hands like a cheerleader. I laughed and waited for her to continue. Well... Damn it, I fucked that one up. She hesitated. Would you come with me after school tomorrow to help me buy supplies? Flour and sugar and stuff? We could go. Of course, I interrupted. I felt so excited. I almost blurted it out. No girls ever asked me to go anywhere before. But somehow, I managed to stay cool enough not to tell her that. I'll meet you behind the playground after school tomorrow, I said. We can shop for what you need, and I'll help you carry it home. Big man, huh? Hey guys, I don't want to talk about how masculine I am while I'm reading a book for children. But, yeah, my toilet broke. Fixed it yesterday. No big deal. Totally got laid because of it. She thanked me, and I jogged down the hall to my locker. I actually felt like skipping or flying. Iris likes me, I decided. A girl in my school likes me. You probably think this is no big deal, but it's a very big deal to me. It changed my whole mood. It made me forget all about the trouble I'd been having. It made me forget I was me. What a great day, I told myself. What an awesome day. My happy mood lasted until I opened my locker. Chapter number 16. Humming to myself, I slipped open the locker door. I squatted down and started to pull some notebooks from the locker floor, when a flash of red caught my eye. Dripping red. Thick. Dripping. Red. Liquid oozing down the side of my locker. Ugh. I gasped. At first, I thought it was blood. Then, I quickly realized I was staring at paint. Bright. Red paint. Like PETA had gotten to my locker. Well, that wasn't even a joke. What the fuck? I scrambled to my feet and read the scrawled message when someone had painted on the door. Who opened the Chamber of Secrets, or whatever they wrote in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets? Just kidding. It's when will the creeps meet? When will the creeps meet? Whoa! I cried out. I poked a finger in the paint and pulled it out, smeared with red. The paint was fresh. The letters dripped down the locker door. Someone had painted it just moments ago, but who? And why? Was it supposed to be a joke? What was the funny part? It was all a mystery to me. The bright red words glowed angrily out at me. I picked up my backpack and slammed the door. I didn't have time to think about it now. I had to get to class. Drink break. That night, the calls started early. I finished my homework by 8:30. I was in the den watching a basketball game on TV with my dad. The phone rang, and Dad picked up the cordless phone from the table beside him. He muttered a few words, then shoved the phone towards me. "It's for you, Ricky." I carried the phone out into the hall to get away from the noise of the basketball game. "Hello?"
"This is a creep," a whispered voice replied. "When will the creeps meet?"
I didn't say another word. I clicked the phone off and carried it back into the den. I tried to watch the basketball game, but the phone kept ringing, one whispered voice after another. "I'm a creep. I saw your message."
"Are we ready to plant the seeds?"
"I'm a creep. When are we meeting?"
This shit ain't funny, I thought. This is too strange to be funny.
Chapter number 17. It's chapter number 17.
As soon as school let out the next day, I ran to my locker. I stuffed the books I needed for homework into my backpack, pulled open my... Sorry, I got too excited trying to get into the story. Pulled on my blue parka and ran out to the playground to meet Iris. Was I a little pumped up? Fuck yeah, I was hard as a rock. You guessed it, I couldn't wait to take Iris shopping for baking supplies, then hopefully put a bun in her oven. I'll help her carry it all back to her house, I told myself, and then maybe she'll ask me to help her bake things for the bake sale. Iris and I will work together. No girl had ever wanted to work together with me. When Brittany Hopper found out I was going to be her lab partner for frog dissection, she stayed home from school for 2 weeks. Can you do that? What do you say to your parents at that point? Hey, some Riri named Ricky? Ricky Riri? It's gonna be my partner, so I'm just gonna chill out here and watch Muppet Babies. That's how old I am. When I was home from school, I was born in 86, they would play reruns of Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies, they make you dream do stuff.
I had to cut up my frog all by myself, and of course I made a disgusting mess of it. But Iris was different. Iris was new. Do they give prizes at bake sales? Probably not, but if they did, I'm sure Iris and I could win one. And then the other kids in school would see that I'm not such a loser.
Aw, man, I used to think that Ricky guy was an asshole, but he did well at a bake sale, so now we have to let him hang out with us.
These were my thoughts as I made my way to the back of the playground. I had big plans. Big, big plans! The second big in that was in all caps, and I think that's the first time I've ever seen R.L. Stine do that. I think he's italicized words, but he doesn't normally put them in all caps! But my plans never came true, no chance, because I never met Iris. I turned to the school to look for her, and Wart, David, Jared, and Brenda jumped me from behind.
"Hey, let go!" I cried.
I tried to squirm free, but
They swarmed over me and dragged me off the playground.
Let go! What are you doing? Give me a break!
I screamed. I twisted and kicked, but I wasn't strong enough to break free.
Damn, they would have just left him alone if he got third place at cupcake contest. Bonanza. Banana-ganza. Banana-flavored cupcake banana-zanza. Tony dances cupcake banana.
Let go! What are you doing? Give me a break!
I screamed again, even though I didn't really, but Dune lost his place. They dragged me into the woods across from the playground. My sneakers scraped and slid over the carpet of wet, dead leaves. They pulled me between the bare trees, trembling in the soft afternoon breeze. A scrawny squirrel scampered in front of us. Ooh, alliteration. Searching the wintry ground for food.
What are you gonna do? I cried. Let me go, I mean it.
They ignored my cries and dragged me through a clump of tall white weeds.
It's probably a white widow. That's the only white weed I know.
This way, David muttered. He guided us to a line of high evergreen shrubs. Clumps of gray snow clung to the limbs of the shrubs. Behind the evergreens, we were completely hidden from the street. With a hard tug, I pulled free. Actually, I think they let me pull free. I spun around. My eyes searched for the best way to escape. It wouldn't be easy. The snow-covered evergreen shrubs surrounded us on all four sides. Wart and his friends stood tensely around me. They stared at me as if waiting for me to speak.
The whole two sentences there, I was trying to think of a joke involving being surrounded on four sides and how when you're normally in a situation without a room, it's not four sides, it's just 360 small sides that are in you know, go together or something. And then I realized my brain was this discombobulated as this thought, and there was no joke in there whatsoever.
Why did you drag me here?
I demanded. I tried to sound calm, but my voice cracked.
What are you gonna do to me? Or in me?
Their faces remained blank, stern, and serious. They didn't even laugh when my voice cracked. Finally, Wart broke the tense silence.
We wouldn't harm you, Commander, he said.
I was sure I hadn't heard him correctly.
Excuse me?
I cried.
We are the creeps,
Wart continued.
My mouth dropped open. So you're the ones who've been calling me and sending me messages?
All four of them nodded solemnly.
Yes, Commander, Brenda said.
She shook off some wet snowflakes that had fallen from the trees onto her long black hair.
I should have known it was you, I muttered through clenched teeth.
Yes, you should have known, Jared repeated.
We called you as soon as we got your message, Commander. David chimed in.
What is this commander stuff? I snapped. Why are you calling me that?
We didn't guess that you were the commander, Wart replied. If we had known you were, we would have never teased you and played mean jokes.
Please accept our apology, Commander, Brenda added. We are so sorry.
You should have made yourself known to us sooner, David said.
Yes, now we must act quickly, Wart added.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I screamed. What is your problem?
Were they trying to drive me crazy? Was this the stupid new game?
I have to meet someone, I told them impatiently. I don't have time for dumb games. Some kids in my school were into fantasy games. They spent hours and hours role-playing characters in different fantasy worlds. You know, with dragons and elves and things that are of public domain and not directly related to Gary Gygax's great creation, Dungeons & Dragons. Stutter, stutter.
I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons in years. And I don't think I ever will again because I'm old. I'm just gonna have to go on adventures alone in the magical world of Skyrim.
But I never saw Wart and his pals playing those games.
So what the fuck did they think they were doing? I knew it was all a stupid joke. It had to be a joke.
By the way, when I said that he does italics, the word had was in italics. So I know that he did that. So you guys are aware of that too.
So why weren't they laughing? Why did they appear so grim? Brenda trained her round, dark eyes on me.
You no longer have to pretend, she said. Now that we know you are the commander, we must act quickly. We creeps have so little time, Wirt said, his eyes locked on mine. It is urgent, David added. That is why we have been calling you, to meet us as soon as possible. I saw the squirrel poking its head out from behind the evergreen shrub on the end. I wondered if I made a run for it. Could I escape? Commander, we cannot understand why you have been delaying, Brenda said. Guys, this shit ain't funny, I said. They nodded solemnly. We know, Jared said. We have so little time to complete our mission. Mission? Had they all lost it? Had they gone cuckoo wacko bananas bonkers? Had they gone banana bonanza Tony Danza bonkers? How long had it taken them to dream up this dumb joke? Did they really think I would buy it? What's the point of this? I demanded. The identity seeds will grow stale in 1 week, Brenda said. We have so little time to plant them, David added fretfully. So little time to turn everyone in the school into creeps. Oh. So it's a, what, Invasion of the Body Snatchers ripoff? It took me until 70 pages in, and in, what? I don't know, a quarter of the way into this podcast? To get the, he just stole the plot from another movie? Maybe he's doing it like the Misfits did, where they just watched an old movie and then named a song after it and made the song somewhat about the movie. Whoa! Seeds! Plant seeds! I laughed. What the fuck did I just do? What else could I do? I laughed in their stupid faces. Am I going crazy or are you? I asked. If we do not plant the seeds in time, Wirt started. But his voice trailed off before he finished his sentence. Brenda picked up where Wirt left off. If we fail to plant the identity seeds, she said, keeping her eyes on me, our mission will fail. Wirt placed a hand on my shoulder and gazed at me solemnly. And of course, Commander, you know what will happen to you if the mission fails. He made a slicing motion across his throat. A heavy silence fell over the woods. A burst of wind shook snow off the evergreens. I suddenly felt cold all over. Brenda reached into her backpack. She pulled out a clear plastic bag and raised it toward me. I have the identity seeds with me, Commander, she announced. I studied the seeds inside the bag. They looked exactly like chocolate chips. As you know, Commander, every student must eat a seed, Wirt said. It takes only one seed to turn a human into a creep. The creeps must rule! Jared declared loudly. Humans are the past, Brenda cried, raising the bag of seeds high. Creeps are the future! All four of them cheered, and as they cheered, they began to change into monsters! Oh, also, just to reiterate on the, why this episode's, what, 3 days late, I really am trying to do it where I put things out on a schedule. I had a migraine. And it's just, it ruins me now. It's just, they keep happening. I have to go to a neurologist and a headache clinic and other shit. And after I have a migraine all day, which is horrible and just ruins everything, it seems like the next full day is a bad headache all day. And then the next day is just like, head hurts slightly. So I'm trying to get all this shit sorted out medically, even though I like fucking don't like Eastern medicine and like to just be filled with chemicals, which by the way, I have new chemicals from the doctor. They're supposed to treat it better on the onset. I'm going to do acupuncture and stuff just because I'm so lost. It's so debilitating and they're happening almost just as often as when they first came on. And it's life ruining. And if it wasn't for the sweet, sweet Imitrex, the drug you take on the onset, I think I'd just kill myself. Like, I could not live in a world where I just had these every day. On that wacky note, chapter 18. Creeps rule! Creeps rule! They chanted. I stared in horror as their faces twisted and their bodies began to transform. They became men and women overnight, pubes everywhere, Adam's apples flopping around, titties! Bumps popped out all over their heads, bumps about the size of quarters, really dishwasher. Bumps about the size of quarters rose up on their arms and hands. Their sink began... I just said sink because I was thinking about that draining into the sink on the dishwasher. That is so loud. I'm sorry, it'll stop in a second. Their skin began to darken. In seconds, they were all bright purple. The big purple bumps trembled and shook on their skin. Their faces stretched, their hair disappeared, and their purple skulls. Hair disappeared into their purple skulls. Their eyes sank in their flat purple heads. The cover of the book literally just has kids, like, are velociraptors in kids' clothes, talking into a phone booth. What the fuck? This is not what's described on the front of the book. I'm turning the light on. It's getting a little dark. Long, ropey tongues flicked from between jagged rows of teeth. Bumpy, purple tongues glistening as they whipped from side to side. I stared at them, unable to move, unable to run, unable to take my eyes off the four creatures. Bumpy lizard creatures. Creeps. They grunted and wheezed. Their eyes rolled wetly. Their long snouts dripped. Their lizardy jaws snapped open and shut. No! I cried out as Wart sprang at me. I thought he was attacking, but he scrambled past me and grabbed the scrawny squirrel between both purple hands. Instantly, his jaws flew open, and he stuffed the squirrel right inside. He swallowed it without chewing. Ah, he could do weird creep pornography. I guess creep pornography already exists. It's called child porn. It's very wrong. The furry tail slid down last. The bumpy tongue licked his wet lips. Sorry, there wasn't enough to share. He grinned at the others. How was it? Brenda hissed. A little dry, Wart replied. I don't like them with the skin on, Jared chimed in. For some reason, that made all of them laugh. Ugly, dry laughs that sounded like choking. I should not try to recreate that. Now I need liquor. All four of them flicked out their long, bumpy tongues and slapped each other's tongues, as if slapping high fives. I took a deep breath. My legs felt so weak, I thought I might fall into the ground. I gotta go now, I stammered. In her purple fingers, Brenda raised the bag of seeds in front of my face. Only 1 week left, Commander, she said. How will we plant them inside the students? We have waited so long for you. Do you have a plan? Yes. My plan is to get out of here now, I replied. I turned to leave, but they had me surrounded. Their eyes were wet and studying me. Their purple chest heaved noisily in and out. The bumps on their skin quivered. Wart made a little bow like a servant. But if you leave, Commander, when will the creeps meet again? He said softly. Yes, we must meet again soon. We must make a plan, David added solemnly. Before the week is out, every student at Harding Middle School must eat an identity seed, Brenda declared. The others nodded. The creeps will rule, Wart said softly. The student humans will all become creeps. Their tongues flicked out again and slapped each other another four-tongued high five. I've got to get away from them bitches now, I told myself. I've got to report them. I've got to tell someone at school who they are and what they're planning to do, but how? Stupid dishwasher, I'm gonna wait for this to stop. This motherfucking chapter right here goes out to Giovanni Giorgio. You gotta keep your head up and shit. You can't be all depressed all the time. You know, there's good stuff in the world, and you gotta find the things that make you happy and then, like, hold on to them and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Why does a shout out automatically mean I have to take up some horribly offensive urban accent?
That being said, chapter 19 is your chapter, Gio. I would dedicate the whole book to you, but,
calling all creeps dedicated to you just sounds super offensive.
Chapter number Giovanni 19, yeah.
I decided to play along with them, to stall, to act as serious as they were. If they figure out that I'm not their commander, they'll do something horrible to me, I realized. I pictured the squirrel tail sliding down Wart's throat, and I started to gag. How can I get away from them? I wondered. As soon as I escape, I could report them to someone, to anyone who would listen. Brenda, let me see those seeds, I said, trying to sound as if I were giving an order. My voice came out strong and steady.
But my hand trembled as I reached for the bag. I took the bag and carefully unwrapped the twist tie on top. Then I raised the bag to my face, studied the seeds for a long time, and took a deep sniff. No, definitely not chocolate chips. The seeds had a faintly sour smell. Not terrible, but not sweet or chocolatey either. One for each kid, I murmured, eyeing them carefully. One seed for each. The four creeps nodded their purple heads. At least one for each student, Brenda said. That's all it will take to turn them into creeps. She snapped her long rows of jagged teeth. It's not gonna happen, I decided. No way, I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm going to get help. I'm gonna stop them. But first, I gotta get out of the woods. Well, we creeps will meet again soon, I said. I handed the seed bag back to Brenda. We must all think of the best plan, and then we will call each other and pick a good time and meet again. I turned and got two steps toward the street. That's all as far as I got. Wart's long, bumpy tongue wrapped around my neck. He turned me around by pulling in his tongue. But Commander, I have a good plan, he declared. Good, I said, trying to not gag again. I could still feel the wet, bumpy tongue on my skin. We will meet soon and talk about your plan. No, now, Wart insisted. Commander, we must talk now. We can put my plan into action tomorrow morning. Huh? Tomorrow? I gasped. I think we'd better wait a day, I started. You see, if we all wait... They eyed me suspiciously. Their purple jaws opened and closed. I turned back to Wart. What's your plan? He took a deep breath, wheezing breath, and began. Tomorrow morning, we get to school very early. The lunchroom cooks all arrive early. They prepare lunch first thing in the morning. Yes, that gives the chocolate pudding plenty of time for the crust to harden, I joked. No one laughed. I've been studying the kitchen carefully, Wart continued. After the cooks set out the food in the morning, they take a 10-minute break. That's our chance. If we sneak in during their break, we can plant the seeds in the lunchroom food. Everyone eats the lunchroom. It's a school rule, David chimed in, which is a fucking convenient rule that no school or no public school has, R.L. Stein. Oh yeah, this is the one school in the world where every kid has to eat the lunch. So every student will eat at least one seed. And by nighttime, they will no longer be humans. They will all be creeps like us, Jared added. What do you think of my plan? Will it work? Wart asked. They all stared at me, waiting for my answer. The plan sounds pretty good, I said finally. I rubbed my chin, pretending I was thinking hard about it. I will talk to you to all tomorrow and let you know my decision. Their lizardy faces drooped with disappointment. Tomorrow? Wart cried unhappily. But we could do it tomorrow morning, Commander. We could plant the seeds and by tomorrow night... I raised a hand to cut him off. Tomorrow, I said firmly. They were still grumbling to each other as I turned and hurried away. I expected one of them to grab me and pull me back, but this time they let me go. I edged through an opening in the evergreen shrubs. Then I started to jog between the bare, trembling trees, across the street and down the block towards my house. What was up with me adding weird pauses to each sentence? And then the word sentence itself. What am I going to do? I asked myself as I ran. I can't let them turn everyone in school into creeps. I can't let them drop their identity seeds in the lunchroom food. But how can I stop them? If I tell them not to do it, they will figure out that I'm not their commander. They'll figure out that they made a mistake. And then what? What will they do to me if they find out that I'm not a creep? Will they gobble me up the way Wart swallowed that poor squirrel? My side started to ache like Dune's right side where his liver is, but it doesn't do that as much anymore because I don't drink as much as I did when I was miserable because I'm happy now. But I kept running. I pictured all the kids in my school turning into bumpy purple lizard creatures. I pictured them all in the woods grabbing squirrels and swallowing them whole.
I pictured us all slouched around, slapping high fives with our tongues. Yuck! What am I going to do? I asked myself out loud. I was the only one who knew about the creeps and the only one who could stop them. And I had to act fast. That was your chapter, Geo.
Chapter number 20.
Pass the mashed potatoes, Dad said with a mouthful of chicken. And the biscuits, please.
I passed the food down the table. I took another drumstick from the bucket. Mom and Dad both work hard, so they don't have time to cook. They usually pick up something on the way home. Tonight it was fried chicken bucket with a bunch of side dishes. They are always starving when they get home. There's no point in talking to them until they finish their first helping. They can't even hear you over the sound of their chewing. Rude, 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 am I right? Fucking parents. I really wasn't hungry. My stomach felt as if it were tied in tight knots. I kept staring at the chicken and picturing squirrel. I waited until most of the chicken had been gobbled up. Then I took a deep breath and started my story. There's something I have to tell you, I said softly. They both raised their eyes from their plates. Dad had a swirl of mashed potatoes on his cheek that looked like semen. Mom reached over and brushed it off with her fingers and snowballed herself. Are you in trouble at school again, Ricky? She said sternly. Have the kids been picking on you? No, that's not it, I replied quickly. I have to tell you something. I mean, I need your help. You see, these four kids. Take a deep breath, Dad said. Start at the beginning. Calm down, Mom added. What's gotten you so wired? Please, let me tell it, I cried. They both settled back and lowered their forks to the table. These four kids, I started again. They're not really kids. I thought they were seventh graders, but they're not. They're creeps. And that's with a capital C. They're not, I added that myself. I was just emphasizing it for the listeners. They're not kids at all. I mean, they're new to the school. I never saw them before this year, but I thought... Mom and Dad exchanged glances. Dad opened his mouth to say something, then changed his mind. They came here with a mission, I told them. They want to turn all the kids in school into creeps. They have these identity seeds, a big bag of them. They're going to feed the seeds to all the kids. I ran out of air. I hadn't taken a breath. I took a long one now and continued my story. They think I'm a creep, too. They think I'm their commander because of a message I typed at the bottom of the school newspaper. They want me to help them turn all the kids into creeps. Horrible monsters! I feel like I should have just started, not even this episode, but the previous one, at this explanation right here. Like, at chapter 20, out of 30 chapters. I took another breath. I was so excited, so nervous, I felt as if my heart had jumped to my throat. I leaned across the table and stared first at Mom, then Dad. We have to stop them, I cried. You have to help me. We can't let them turn everyone into creeps. But what can we do? How can we let people know that they're not really kids? How can we stop them? You've got to help me. You've got to. I let out a long whoosh of air and dropped against the back of the chair. And then I put my hands in the air like I just don't care. Say hey.
Franklin, say hey. All right, Franklin, say ho. All right, Franklin, look at me like I'm retarded.
Oh, good. I struggled to slow down my racing heart. My parents glanced at each other. I could see the troubled expressions on their faces. Dad was the first to speak. Ricky, he said softly, your mom and I are creeps too.
Chapter number 21.
I gasped and nearly tumbled off my chair. Mom and Dad burst out laughing. No, we're actually Martians, Dad declared. No way. We're not Martians, Mom argued. We're werewolves. She picked up a chicken bone and pretended to chomp on it like a wolf. We're Martian werewolves, Dad cried with a better idea than the actual book. He tossed back his head and howled like a wolf.
Never heard of wolf hell. That's not true. I just went to a wolf sanctuary. Then they both laughed loudly. They really thought they were a riot.
You've got to take me serious,
I pleaded. For some reason, that made them laugh even harder. Dad actually had tears in his eyes from laughing so hard. He raised his napkin and dabbed his eyes.
Ricky, sometimes you come up with the greatest things, he said. He reached over and slapped my shoulder.
What an imagination, Mom commented.
She shook her head. You really should write that story down, Ricky. It could win a prize.
No, it couldn't, R.L. Stine, you cocky bastard.
He fucking described briefly the plot of his book and then was like, that idea is so good, you should win awards for it. You're so smart, R.L. Stine. Your wife should give you a blowjob tonight.
But it isn't a story, I cried. I jumped to my feet and angrily tossed my napkin onto my plate.
Why don't you believe me?
Oh, we believe you, Commander, Dad exclaimed. Commander of the Creeps.
They both burst out laughing again. I uttered an angry cry, turned and stomped out of the dining room. I could still hear them laughing as I stormed up the stairs to my bedroom. I slammed the door behind me and shook my fists in the air. I had to find some help. I had to make someone believe me. I slumped onto my bed and just sat there for a long while, staring at the darkness outside my window. I waited for my heart to stop racing, for my mind to calm down. I feel like I'm doing that right now, trying to catch my breath. I feel like if I keep reading so quick and passionately, I'm gonna vomit. But I must go on. But I couldn't get calm. My whole body tingled. My brain spun. I grabbed the phone off my bed table and punched in Iris's number. Iris will listen to me, I told myself. Iris will know I'm not making up a wild story. The phone rang 3 times. 4. 5. I bet Iris is really the commander. No one home. Come on, Iris. I begged into the ringing receiver. Be there. Or be square, am I right? I let it ring 12 times before I hung up. That's a dozen. If you would have let it ring one more, it would be a baker's dozen. I slammed the phone back onto the bed table. After I calmed down a little, I sat down at my desk and tried to do my homework. I like that he thinks everyone's going to be killed and he must do his homework. But I couldn't keep my mind on it. At least the phone isn't ringing and ringing tonight, I told myself. The creeps weren't calling me tonight. Dear God, I've got like 8 text messages while reading this chapter. I hate receiving numerous texts in a row. It gives me fucking crazy anxiety. Oh my God. They were waiting to hear from me. They were waiting to hear if I okayed Wart's plan to go to school early and plant the seeds in the lunchroom food. I slammed my science textbook shut. I will go to school early, I said out loud, but not to meet the 4 creeps, not to drop identity seeds in everyone's lunch. I'll go to school early and talk to Miss Crawford, the principal. I'll let her know the whole story. I'll tell her what the creeps are planning to do at her school. She'll help me stop them. I know she will. Drinking break. My Hawk radio woke me up 30 minutes earlier than usual. I clicked it off and listened to a soft patter against my bedroom window. Staggering across the room, I peeked through the blinds. A gloomy gray day outside, frozen rain dribbling down. I yawned. I had tossed and twisted all night. I got dressed quickly, pulling on a large red and brown flannel shirt and baggy brown corduroy pants because, dear God, this was written in the 90s. Just wearing my flannel and corduroys. What's wrong, bruh? I gulped down a fast breakfast of orange juice and cornflakes. Hope he didn't mix them. You're up early this morning, Mom commented sleepily. She stood waiting for the coffee maker to drip. Yep, gotta go, I mumbled. I grabbed my parka and backpack and hurried out the back door. I pulled my baseball cap down over my eyes and jogged through the cold, drizzling rain. Such a dreary day. Everything looked gray this morning. No bright color anywhere. As I made my way to school, I practiced my speech to Miss Crawford. I wanted to tell the story right. I wanted everything in the right order. I didn't want to leave out any important parts. I passed a man in a gray rain slicker, out walking his Dalmatian. Do you capitalize dog breeds? Franklin, do you capitalize dog breeds? You're a rat terrier. Do I capitalize that, or because you're part mutt that I don't? I'll look this up. I didn't see anyone else in the street. The school appeared empty when I arrived. The halls were silent. My wet shoes skidded over the floor. And that's the moment I invented Heelys and made millions. I stepped into the front office. The room was empty. The two secretaries hadn't arrived yet. But I saw a light from the principal's office and back, and I heard a cough. "Miss Crawford, are you back there?" I called.
"Yes,"
she called back.
"Who is it?"
I heard her chair scrape, and then she poked her white-haired head out of the office door.
"Ricky?"
She squinted at me in surprise.
"You startled me. You're here awfully early, aren't you?"
How the fuck? I don't understand how teachers are supposed to know every kid's name, but I doubly don't understand how a principal is supposed to know every kid in a school's name. They have to have, like, a weird trick, right? Or do kids have name tags?
I need to talk to you, I stammered.
She motioned for me to step around the front counter and into her office.
What's the problem?
She asked, closing the door behind me. It's kind of a long story, I began. Would she believe me?
Chapter 22.
Miss Crawford always reminds me of a black and white movie. She has short, curly white hair, gray eyes, and a very pale face. She always wears black. Black pantsuits and black skirts and tops. Like Dune's girlfriend, except for pantsuits, because dear God. I don't know how old she is. I think she's pretty old, but she's very lively and athletic. Sometimes she joins in during volleyball games in the gym. I sat down in the stiff-backed chair in front of her desk. She moved some files aside and leaned across the desk toward me. I'm glad you came by, she said, her smile fading.
Huh? Really?
I've been meaning to talk to you, Ricky, she continued. I understand there was some trouble at the car wash last Saturday. She waited for me to say something, but I didn't know what to say. I've been told that you started a water fight. Oh, I'm getting a call from my dad. Hey-o. Alright, good. Don't worry, I've confirmed plans for my dad's birthday. We're gonna drink cocktails.
That's what we always do.
And while I was just flailing about with the book right now, out popped a Valentine with Tweety on it that says, "Hope you have a wheelie wheelie happy Valentine's Day." And it's from Elizabeth to April and was printed in 2000. So that's just good times. Oh, God. I've been told that you started a water fight last Saturday, Miss Crawford said sternly.
Me? I cried. I didn't start it. I...
She motioned with one hand for me to be silent. Mr. Wortman, Richard's father, called me to complain. He said that the inside of his car was totally soaked. He told me that...
That's who I want to talk to you about, I interrupted.
I could see that this conversation was not going as I had planned. I decided I'd better jump in as fast as possible.
I want to talk to you about Wart, I said. I mean Richard. He's not a kid, see? He told me. He's a creep.
Miss Crawford's mouth dropped open. She blinked at me.
And you know his three friends? I blurted out.
They're creeps, too. They're monsters. Purple monsters. Miss Crawford twisted her face into a frown.
Ricky, she started.
No, really, I insisted. They're monsters. They call themselves creeps.
They told me so themselves. I saw them. Wart ate a squirrel. He's a creep.
This wasn't going over well. I could see that by the deepening furrows in Miss Crawford's forehead.
She looked like a Klingon. Kapla!
It wasn't the way I'd planned to tell the story, but it was too late now. I had to get it out. I'm their commander, I told the principal. At least they think I'm their commander, but I'm not really. And they... Miss Crawford jumped to her feet.
Ricky, are you okay? She asked. They want to plant seeds and turn the whole school into creeps, I continued frantically. They want...
She stepped around her desk and placed a hand on my forehead.
Do you have a temperature?
You feel a little warm. She moved back and studied my face. Would you like to see the nurse? She usually comes in early.
No, not the nurse, I cried. You don't understand. We can't let anyone eat the lunchroom food because they're monsters.
Miss Crawford scratched the top of her head.
Should I send you home? She asked. Do you feel sick?
I could have someone take you home. She reached for the phone. Are your parents still home? I could call them. No, please! I jumped to my feet. I'm okay, really. She wasn't going to believe me. No way I could get her to listen to me. Just a joke, I said, backing to the door. Just a joke, really. I'm sorry about Ms. Warman's car. It was an accident. The hose just slipped. I fumbled for the door, pushed it open, and backed the fuck out. Ricky, wait. Miss Crawford called. I really think you should see the nurse. Just talk to her. You seem very excited. Perhaps if you talk to her. No, I'm fine, really. I insisted. I turned and ran through the front office and out the door, into the long, empty hallway. My heart flip-flopped in my chest. I turned the corner and bumped into Wart and his three friends. Oh! I let out a startled cry. What are you doing here? Glad you joined us, Commander, Wart said in a whisper. His eyes glanced up and down the hall. Let's go. Go? Go where? I demanded. To the lunchroom, he replied. Chapter 23, dum-da-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. I turned and looked for Miss Crawford, but she had stayed in her office. The long hall stood empty. Wart and David moved to my sides. Brenda led the way to the stairs that went down to the lunchroom and the kitchen. Jared walked close behind me. They had me surrounded. I had no choice. I had to go with them. When we reached the bottom of the stairs, I could see the open doors to the kitchen. Bright white light poured out to the hall. I took a deep breath. Does he make it bright white light just so it's hard to read, or is it fun, or is it just didn't catch that it's weird? What was that smell? Tuna casserole? I could hear women's voices, the cooks working away at the stoves. With Brenda leading the way, the five of us moved silently to the kitchen doorway. Now I could hear the clatter of pots and the hiss of something cooking on the stove. A woman coughed. Another one laughed. Brenda turned suddenly, and I nearly walked into her. She shoved something into my hand. The plastic bag of seeds. You may have the honor, Commander, she whispered solemnly. You may hide the seeds in the food. Well... I pressed my back against the tile wall. I didn't want to go in there. I didn't want the honor of planting the seeds. Maybe we should come back later, I suggested. Remember, I suggested that we wait. I told you to wait until we have no choice, Jared whispered. Very loudly, apparently. We know you want the mission to succeed. Good luck, Brenda said softly. David and Jared gave me a hard push into the kitchen. Squeezing the bag of seeds between my hands, I blinked in the bright light. I could see three women in white uniforms and white aprons. They stood across the big room at the stoves against the wall. They had their backs to me. Tall soup pots bubbled and steamed on the stoves. I swallowed hard. If one of them turned around, she'd see me instantly. I slid beside a cabinet near the doorway. Ahead of me stood a long, shiny aluminum counter. This whole scene is set up like R.L. Stine's like, all right, look, imagine Jurassic Park. Now, what if it was super boring and entertaining? Oh, that's what I'm going to do. The kids will eat it up. Enormous trays of food stood cooling on the counter. I saw a big tray of macaroni and cheese, a tray of steamed broccoli, and a huge tray of tuna casserole. I guessed it would take about 10 steps to reach the counter. So close! I could probably dive to the counter, pour the seeds out into one of the big food trays, and run out of the door in less than 10 seconds. Even if one of the cooks turned around, I could accomplish the mission and be out of there before she could even cry out. What am I thinking? I asked myself, pressing against the side of the cabinet. I don't want to accomplish the mission. I glanced back to the kitchen doorway. All four creeps huddled there, watching me. They waved their hands frantically, motioning me to get on with it. I had no choice. No way to escape. I had to go ahead and plant the seeds. I sucked in a deep breath and held it. Then, my eyes on the white uniformed backs of the three cooks, I crept up quickly to the long food counter. I stopped a few feet away. In front of me on the counter stood an enormous square metal pan of macaroni and cheese. It was steaming hot, fresh from the oven. The tangled cheese smell floated up to me. I can't do this. I decided I can't. I turned back. The four creeps leaned into the doorway, blocking my escape. All four of them were signaling wildly for me to pour the seeds. I turned back to the macaroni tray. I raised the seed bag and pulled open the top. They're watching me, I knew. They're all watching. I have to do this or else they will know that I'm not their commander. I have to go ahead with it. But then, in a flash, I had an idea. Chapter number 24. I held the seed bag in one hand from the bottom. I raised it in front of me. I turned and flashed the four creeps a thumbs up sign. Then I took a step toward the food counter. Food! Food! I stole the TV! Another step, and I pretended to trip over something. I stumbled forward. My hand shot up, and the seed bag flew into the air. I faked a frantic attempt to catch it as I went down, but the bag hit the side of the aluminum counter, turned upside down, and dropped to the floor, spilling seeds all over that bitch. I watched them roll in all directions. The bag lay on its side in front of me, empty. Yes, I thought happily, I've done it. I've destroyed their plan. I've defeated these monsters by dropping something. I forced an unhappy expression on my face and scrambled on my hands and knees out of the kitchen door. Warp pulled me up and dragged me away from the open doorway. I shook my head sadly. Sorry, I murmured. I'm so sorry. I failed you all. I pretended to be in near tears. Really, I'm so goddamn sorry. No problem, Jared replied. He pulled another bag of seeds from his coat pocket and slapped them into my hand. We always carry a spare, Brenda whispered. You never know when you'll need more identity seeds. Ah, that's fucking lucky, I replied. Now go do it, Wart cried softly, slapping me on the back. This time you will not fail, Commander. The four of them pushed me back through the doorway. I blinked, waiting for my eyes to adjust to the bright kitchen lights. The three cooks were still working on the stoves. They still had their backs to me and were apparently deaf. I crept up to the food counter and peered down at the huge tray of simmering macaroni. I had the seed bag gripped tightly in my right hand. The little bag felt as if it weighed 100 pounds. I raised the seed bag over the steaming macaroni and glanced back to the doorway. All four of the creeps leaned into the opening, their eyes locked on me, sensually. I turned back to the food counter, raised the bag over the macaroni tray. I have no choice, I told myself. I have to do this now. I poured the whole goddamn bag of seeds over the top of the macaroni and cheese. Then I turned quickly to the door and tiptoed silently, starting to sneak out of the kitchen. Stir 'em. Stir 'em, Brenda whispered. She made a stirring motion in her hand as if she was Lil B trying to dance. Huh? I stopped a few feet from the door. Stir in the fucking seeds, she whispered urgently. You've got to hide them. All right. I turned and crept back up to the big tray of macaroni and cheese. I picked up a long wooden spoon and stirred the seeds into the macaroni. Then I turned to sneak out. I took three steps when two strong hands grabbed my shoulders roughly from behind. What are you doing in here, young man? A woman barked. Bitches be barking, you know what I'm saying? Chapter 25. The hands spun around me. I stared up into the angry face of Miss Marshall.
What are you doing in here?
She repeated. Miss Marshall is the nice cook. She's our favorite. She always kids around with everyone at lunchtime when she dishes out the food.
She's a lunch lady comedian. Hey, you should go do stand-up. You'd be great at an open mic. You're the funny lunch lady. That's your thing. You'll make it.
But she wasn't kidding around now. She knew I didn't belong in the kitchen. Her black curls pressed against her hairnet. She tilted her head, hands in her white apron pocket, waiting for me to answer her question. I glanced to the door, saw the four creeps peeking in.
Miss Marshall, I whispered. Don't serve the macaroni.
She squinted at me like a China woman.
Huh?
Speak up, young man.
Don't serve the macaroni,
I whispered a little louder. I couldn't say it much louder. Wart and his three friends would hear me.
Please don't let anyone eat the macaroni,
I begged. What are you saying?
she demanded loudly. What are you whispering? Don't serve the macaroni, I repeated, still in a whisper. It's poisoned. She uttered an angry groan. Young man, our macaroni is delicious, she declared. I'm so sick and tired of jokes about our food. When I was in elementary school, I was informed that the local junior high is where we got the elementary school food, and that it was all leftovers from there from the previous day. And then when I went there, they informed me that it was high school. And then when I went to high school, I was like, I'm gonna get drunk. And that's what I'm doing right now. I've lived up to all my dreams. She's right, another cook, Miss Davis, chimed in from across the room. She waved a long mixing spoon at me. We make good, wholesome food here. It's like home-cooked, and we're tired of all the horrible jokes. We have feelings, you know, Miss Marshall added. We use real cheese in the macaroni, Miss Davis called, stirring, still waving her spoon. None of that artificial stuff, and real macaroni noodles. That's right, the third cook called. She was new. I didn't know her name. Give him a taste, Alice. Give him a taste of the macaroni. He'll see how good it is. Miss Marshall leaned over me. Good idea. Would you like a little bowl of macaroni? She stepped over the food counter. Try it. You won't make any more jokes, Miss Davis said. Miss Marshall started to spoon out a little bowl of macaroni for me. I backed up toward the door. No, please. No, thank you, I sputtered. I reached the doorway. I had a big breakfast. I turned and ran out. Ran out. God damn. And bumped into the four creeps. They all cheered. Commander, you have done it. Wart cried. You have planted the seeds. I like that R.L. Stine took Data's thing on Star Trek of not using contractions. They cheered again and clapped and slapped me on the back. All four of them were grinning their heads off. Now we just have to wait till this afternoon, Brenda declared. This school will be crawling with creeps.
Chapter number 26.
I didn't go near the lunchroom at lunchtime. I hid in a stairwell instead. My stomach was growling like I had gnarly diarrhea, but I didn't care. I couldn't bear to see all the kids gobbling down the macaroni. What a fucking hero this kid is. He poisoned all the kids and then is like, all right, well, I'm gonna hang around and go to class for the next 4 hours and do nothing about it to save the lives of all the kids. Swallowing the little seeds that would turn them into squirrel-eating creeps. A school full of purple lizard monsters, I thought miserably, and all my fault, my fault! All afternoon, I didn't hear a word my teacher said. Iris tried to talk to me, but I pretended to be listening really hard to the teacher. I sat at my desk, studying the other kids, watching for signs that they were changing, waiting for the seeds I had planted to do their evil. But I didn't see anything odd. No bumpy purple skin, no long flicking tongues. The kids all appeared normal. After school, the four creeps were waiting for me in the playground. They surrounded me and led me to our hiding place in the woods across the street. Wart angrily kicked a stone out of his way. David and Jared were muttering unhappily and shaking their heads. It didn't work, Brenda said softly. The seeds didn't work. No one changed. What went wrong? Wart asked. What could have gone wrong? They all stared at me. Suddenly, I knew the answer. I knew exactly why none of the kids had turned into creeps. No one ate the macaroni, I blurted out. I could have kicked myself. Why did I tell them? Why did I tip them off? They narrowed their eyes at me. Huh? No one ever eats the macaroni, I said. I already started. I had to explain. It's sort of a school rule. The macaroni hasn't been touched by anyone in years and years. And apparently the staff doesn't notice the entire trash cans full of macaroni each time. What the fuck? Why would people do that? I don't understand things. Life's confusing to me. I don't want to do this. I hate everyone and everything. Wart stepped up to me and stared at me suspiciously. How do you know that, Commander? He demanded. You arrived here only a few days before we did, so how did you know that the macaroni hasn't been eaten in years? I had to think fast. If they discovered that I wasn't a creep, they'd probably disintegrate me, or eat me, or something. One of the kids in class told me, I replied. I lowered my head. I should have remembered sooner. I have failed you. Our mission is a failure. No, it isn't.
Brenda chimed in. I have more seeds and a new plan, a better plan. The other creeps turned to her. Tell us your plan, Jared demanded. We don't have much time before the seeds lose their power. It's simple, Brenda replied with a shrug. We bake the seeds into cookies. Then we hand out the cookies for free at the school bake sale on Saturday.
Excellent idea, David cried. Yay!
Wart and Jared cheered like no one's ever cheered in a real conversation ever. Everyone gets a free cookie, Brenda said, grinning an evil grin, and everyone becomes a creep. Brenda's grin made me feel cold all over. I swallowed hard. My mouth suddenly felt dry. I knew that her plan would work. I knew that no one in my school could pass up a free cookie, because we're... Wow, I was going to say all morbidly obese and have diabetes, but I ruined my flow by hiccuping. What can I do? I asked myself. How can I stop them? They all turned to me. Shall we bake the cookies, Commander? Wart demanded. Shall we put Brenda's plan into action? I stared back at them. They were eagerly awaiting my answer. I wondered if they could see my knees shaking. Well,
now!
I took a deep breath. I had to try something. I had to think of something to stop them. I don't like Brenda's plan, I said, trying to keep my voice low and steady. I think we must prepare the seeds for a later time. I think we should bury the seeds in the ground and see if they sprout. That way we can have lots and lots of seeds. It's good science. I know. It was a lame idea, but it's the only thing that popped into my mind. Would they buy it? I wondered. Would they forget about Brenda's plan and go along with it? Would they agree to bury the seeds? No way! It took me only seconds to realize I had made the worst mistake of my life. Seems like his parents' worst mistake was fucking not pulling out, am I right?
Chapter 27.
Bury the seeds? Brenda cried. Bury them? The four of them moved in closer. They formed a tight circle around me. Actually, it was probably a square, because there's only four of them. I glanced around nervously, searching the woods for the best path to escape. But they had me trapped.
Are you sure you are our commander? Wart demanded.
Darid. Alright, wait one second. I'm gonna put a bunch of alcohol in me and my brain's gonna start working again. Spring break! Alright.
David and Jared sneered at me. A creep commander would never tell us to bury the identity seeds, Jared said menacingly.
Wart stuck his face up close to mine.
Prove you are the commander, he ordered.
Yes, prove you are a creep, David cried. Prove it, prove it.
All four of them began to chant. I gasped and tried to back away, but they had me surrounded.
Prove it, prove it.
And as they chanted, they began to change once again. Their skin grew bumpy and turned bright purple. Their hair slid into their heads, like a reverse version of that Play-Doh mold where you shove it in and it comes out like noodles and kids eat it and it tastes salty. And their jaws stretched into long, toothy snouts.
Prove it, prove it,
they chanted. Prove that you're a creep. I stared at them, unable to move, unable to run. What should I do?
Prove you're a creep, they demanded, using contractions this time.
Prove it now. Eyes flashing wildly, purple bumps quivered all over their bodies. They slithered toward me, and I knew I was doomed. And I'm Dune.
Chapter 28.
I'm about to start the 28th chapter of my life in July. By chapter, I mean year. I mean, I'm getting fucking old. I think I started this when I was like 22? 23? Oh, dear God, life.
Prove it! Prove it!
Their long, bumpy tongues flicked at me as they chanted,
prove that you're one of us. Change now. Let us see you change like us.
I swallowed hard. They were chanting for me to change, staring, waiting. They have to wait a long time, because I'm not one of them.
Change, change, change. Changes, change into a creep.
They were about to learn the truth about me. I decided I had to confess and begged for their mercy. Guys? I started. But then a girl's shout rose over the chanting of the creeps. Stop at once, she cried. We all turned to see Iris coming out from behind a tall evergreen. The four creeps uttered grunts of surprise, their eyes rolled wildly in their purple lizard heads. I am the commander's second in command, Iris declared. Her long earrings jangled wildly. I am his sergeant. The creeps pulled their long, bumpy tongues into their snouts. They stared at Iris, suddenly silent. The commander and I do not choose to transform now, Iris told them sternly. We do not have time. We must bake the cookies now. We must prepare the seeds for the bake sale.
Yay!
The creeps cheered Iris. Thank you, Sergeant, Brenda said. I am glad you like my plan. Your plan will work, Iris replied. We will turn the whole school into creeps like us. Quickly, let us hurry to my house and bake the cookies. The four lizard creatures offered up another cheer. They slapped their tongues. Then they quickly began to change back into kids. The purple on their skin faded. The quivering bumps slid into their skin. Their mouths, their snouts shrunk, and their faces twisted back into the faces of kids I knew. As they changed back, I leaned close to Iris and whispered in her ear, Iris, you're really one of them? Yes, Commander, she replied, keeping her eyes on the four creeps. Do not worry. This new plan will not fail. I opened my mouth to say something, but no sound came out. I couldn't believe it. Iris, a creep? We began making our way through the woods. Iris led the way to her house. The afternoon sun was sinking behind the bare trees. The air suddenly felt cold and heavy. I couldn't stop the chills that rolled down my back. I had a close call in the woods. Iris had saved me, but I knew my troubles weren't over. I was in terrible danger. So were all the kids at school. We stepped into Iris's kitchen. Why didn't Iris save me? I wondered. She knows I'm not one of them. She knows I'm not a creep. So why did she rescue me from the other four creeps? As the four of them took out flour and eggs and other ingredients, I pulled Iris aside. You know I'm not a creep, I whispered. Why did you rescue me? I'm not a creep either, she whispered back. But I saw you were in big trouble. How did you know? I started. I glanced back into the kitchen to make sure the creeps weren't watching us. You were supposed to meet me on the playground, remember? Iris whispered. I saw them drag you into the woods. I followed you. I heard everything and I saw everything. Well, thanks for saving me, I replied like an ungrateful fucking prick. But now you're in danger too. She nodded. I know, but I had to save you, didn't I? How are you going to save the rest of the school? I whispered. Good question, Iris replied. We have to bake the cookies now. We don't have a choice. When we get to the bake sale, we'll figure out a way to keep the kids from eating them. Yeah, sure, I rolled my eyes. How could we keep kids from grabbing up free cookies? How? Yeah, kids like cookies. That's good stuff, R.L. Stein.
Chapter 29.
On Saturday morning, Iris and I and the four creeps carried our big trays of cookies into the gym. What a crowd! Every kid in school was there. Really, on a Saturday morning, that's bullshit. They were all running back and forth, carrying trays of baked goods to the tables, talking and laughing and kidding around. A podium with a microphone had been set up under the basket at one end of the gym. The long row of tables stretched from one wall to the other. As Iris and I walked to the tables, the four creeps stayed close to our sides, protecting the cookies, watching our every move. The cookies with the identity seeds inside were piled high on the two trays. We had baked hundreds of them, more than enough for every kid in school. We passed by a group of kids gobbling down brownies. At the near table, Miss Williamson, our teacher, was busy cutting slices in a cheesecake. I saw dozens of plates of cookies spread over the tables. Signs were posted, giving the prices. Just about everything cost a dollar. Nothing was free. Our cookies were the only free items. How could I stop kids from taking them? How could I make sure that no one ate them? We headed to the tables, but Wart stepped in front of us. Start giving them out now, he urged. Yes, there's no reason to wait.
Brenda agreed. Let's pass out the cookies. The gym is totally jammed with kids. In a few minutes, we'll have dozens of new creeps. Wart grabbed for the tray. David and Jared pulled the plastic wrapping off the cookies. I've got to act. Now. I knew. But what could I do? As Wart lifted the cookie tray from my hands, I had an idea. I dodged past him, swung my way around the group of chocolate cake eaters, leaped behind the podium. Tasha was about to make a welcoming speech and grabbed the microphone. Attention! Attention, everyone! I screamed because somehow microphones change your whole voice. A loud squeal from the speakers got everyone's attention. My panicky voice echoed off the high gym walls. Don't eat the free cookies, I shouted. Please, listen to me, everyone. Don't eat the free cookies. You will all become monsters. Bumps will grow all over you and you'll look like purple lizard creatures. And you'll eat squirrels whole. Everyone laughed. The laughter drowned out my desperate words. You've got to believe me. I shrieked into the microphone. I could see Wart and David running toward the podium. You've got to stay away from the free cookies. The laughter rose up until I couldn't hear myself. Get away from that mic, Tasha screamed. Mic spelled like the name rather than microphone. She grabbed the microphone from my hands. Two teachers rushed up to pull me away. Sicky Ricky, Tasha started to chant, and then the rest of the huge crowd joined in. Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. The gym rang with their chanting and wild laughter. I could feel my heart sink to my stomach. Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. The chanting made me feel as if my head were about to burst. I wanted to cover my ears. I wanted to run. I wanted to disappear. How can I save them if they're going to laugh at me? I wondered. What can I do if they refuse to listen to me? And then I had another idea, an even more desperate plan than grabbing the microphone and begging them. Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. Tasha led the chanting. I tried to ignore the laughing, shouting voices. I knew I only had a few seconds to act. Would my plan work? Probably not. But it was the only thing my panicked brain could come up with. I'll gobble down all the cookies myself, I decided. I'll grab the trays and eat all the cookies and save everyone at the school. With a wild leap, I pushed past a bunch of chanting kids. I grabbed the tray of cookies from Wart's hand and opened my mouth to start swallowing them down. What the fuck? I don't think I made a single comment that time. I really don't dig this book. Chapter 30. Ow! I cried out when something smacked me in the forehead. I wasn't hurt, just startled. I reached a hand up and felt something wet and gooey. Someone had thrown a piece of chocolate pie. Kids laughed. Tasha ran up and flashed my picture. Hey! I cried out angrily. Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. Some kids chanted. Ricky Rat, Ricky Rat. I heard other kids sing. Someone threw a brownie. I ducked and it sailed over my shoulder. I nearly dropped the tray of cookies, laughing. Tasha snapped another photo. What's fucking wrong with you? I shouted. I'm trying to save you. Sicky Ricky, Ricky Rat, Ricky Rat, Sicky Ricky. Don't they realize what danger they're in? I asked myself. Why are they making fun of me? Why do they always make fun of me? I'm trying to save them. Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. Someone hit me in the chest with a gooey slice of cheesecake. I raised the cookie tray. I've got to save them, I told myself. I have to ignore all the teasing and chanting and laughing. I've got to save them all. Wart and Brenda closed in on me. Commander, what are you waiting for? Wart asked. Pass out the cookies. Ignore their chanting, Brenda said. Once they eat the cookies, they will all be creeps. You will be their leader. They will all be your slaves. I've got to save them, I repeated myself. Got to save them. Got to save them. I turned to Brenda. Huh? What did you say? I said they will all be your slaves, Brenda shouted over the chanting and laughter. My slaves? My slaves? My slaves? Here's the formatting on that.
My slaves, normal with one question mark. My slaves, italicized slaves. My, italicized, not italicized, slaves, three question marks. I ducked as someone tossed another slice of cheesecake at me.
Sicky Ricky,
they chanted. Here, Tasha, have a cookie, I cried. I held out the tray to her and watched her take it. Have a cookie! Free cookies! I shouted at the top of my lungs. Hands grabbed eagerly for the cookies. I moved quickly, happily around the gym, handing out cookies to every kid. Plenty for everyone! I shouted. That's right, they're free, and they're the best! Free cookies! Free cookies! That's it, everyone! Gobble them up! One for everyone! Free cookies! I flashed my four friends a thumbs up, and I took a cookie for myself. Not bad. A little chewy, but very sweet. I gazed around the gym, watched everyone chew up the free cookies. From now on, I told myself, things are going to be very different around here. And I can't wait. The end. Alright. I hated that book, but loved the ending where he fucked over all the kids because they were dicks to him. I don't know. I appreciate it thoroughly. I like, you know, like, part of me hates... Let me phrase that. All of me hates the new anti-bullying trends because that's how people have become humbled and don't have too much goddamn self-esteem, which is what makes people not have shame and not be able to do anything or accomplish anything in life. But, yeah, I like him fucking over the whole school. Except for when he eats one himself, will he still be himself? Just a creep version? And be aware that he's the commander and owns a school full of kids? I don't know. God, I like that I'm at least thinking about it. You know what, R.L. Stein? That was 29 chapters of shit and one chapter of... alright, there you go. And I appreciate that. I'm Dune. Check out the Far Out Podcast or whatever else. On Twitter, I'm at Dune. You can go to facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps or email me at dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps.coms. Why am I pluralizing things? Well, regardless of me pluraling things or not... God damn it, I need to stop talking. Stay spooky, bitches.